I read this to the data that says that gender parity is 123 years away. And I just thought, you know what? I think that's such bullshit. I honestly think that's such bullshit.
Hi, and welcome to Lead Well. Today, my guest is Geeta Sitarup, founder and CEO of W Corp. So, Geeta, you work at the intersection of leadership, power, and systems change. And after a career in law and entrepreneurship, you turned your focus to a question many organizations still avoid. Why do capable women stall, burn out, or leave, even in companies that claim to support equality? And I have a story to share about that as well. And through W Corp, you help organizations move beyond good intentions to measurable structural change. So this conversation is about what is broken, what actually works, and what leadership responsibility really means. Hi, welcome, Geeta.
Thank you so much, Christine, for having me.
So there is one thing you often say, and that is it's the system that is the problem and not women. So from your perspective, where do organizations most fundamentally misdiagnose the issue?
It's such a good question. I don't think we realize that. Let's start from this premise. Normal means white man, and then traditional means rich white man. So it's a system that is created for a very specific subset of men. And what we do is we try and fit into their normal. So when you go to the office, no office was set up. If you had an office, if you look at today's office and you look at, you walk into this building and there's these people sitting at the bottom and they type in your name or you write your badge and you go into a lift and you go upstairs and you do all of those things and you sit in a room that's actually too cold for women because, you know, it's too cold for women. And then you go to a cafeteria which has lunch choices that women just don't want to eat. Don't like Google's one of the very few that really pays attention to this. And you go to toilets that don't have period products in them. Now imagine that. And then you come in the morning and then you leave at a certain time, which is after school finishes for kids. And then you can't deal with personal stuff while you're at work, but actually that's part of your job. And if we ran offices that were run for women by women, we would turn up into places that didn't mind if we weren't there. We would run on productivity and results, not on showing up. We would have more places where people could sit and speak to each other in communal concerts, none of which would make us weak. But what we do is we call it creative or something instead of female and feminine. And we would then have period products. We would have huge salad bars with a little bit of meat and a little bit of fish and all of these things. We would just run everything differently. Women really struggle in a male-dominated, male-run, male-set-up environment, run on a testosterone-based approach. And it's a very simple linear hormonal system men have. And we struggle with that in order to bring our biology to work, which is a system that's delicately calibrated between estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. So it's just like saying, what's the difference between cheese and, I don't know, maybe tofu? Because they look the same, but they're not even on the same lexicon of experience.
Wow. Wow. So a lot of companies, they invest in those gender equality initiatives or DEI initiatives, but there are not a lot of changes. They have those initiatives and those projects, but what really distinguishes the real structural change from a well-packaged compliance?
So firstly, a lot of DEI actually came out of the United States. And the United States has some very specific, unique problems in their DEI, which come from the history of slavery, which is why when now you have Donald Trump coming in with his anti-DEI, anti-work and whatever, yes, but it's a peculiarly American conversation. Now, it has obviously impacted all of us because American corporations have now become global behemoths, which impact all of our lives because they're American. I applaud them for doing whatever it is that they have done, which has started these conversations like feminism, a huge, not so much in terms of voting, but a huge, I was working watching a movie on Gloria Steinem, and I was like, wow, this woman deserves so much more credit than she gets in this day and age. It was an insane documentary. And what we are looking for is to say, look, we don't want to fight you. If somebody hates me because I'm brown, I cannot see the value in fighting them. How does this help me? It doesn't change a single thing. I don't want to fight you because I will remain a woman. You will remain not understanding me because you don't have to understand me. Now, as long as you accept both of those things, and that's where I came from, this is not my field. DEI is not my field. My field is communications, impact, advocacy. I cold called 76 men. That is a lot of men to speak to when I was doing this. And I said to them in the beginning, I was like, oh my God, this. And after two calls like that, I gave up. And I'm like, tell me what you think. And men would just say to me, you know what? I don't care. I don't have a problem with this. So I don't care. One man said to me, Gita, I made 25 million last year. Nothing to do with women impacted anything to do with what I do. If I need a woman, I reach down from the glass ceiling, I pull her up. And then if I don't need her, I'm like, wow, you know, there's a glass ceiling. I'm so proud of you. He's, yeah, but it makes no difference to me. So what do we do when half the world does not care? What do you do then? What you do then is to say, please feel free to not care. But when you have a male run, a man's toilet, which has urinals, and a woman's toilet that has toilets and occasionally tampons, and nobody cares if they are there and they exist under the same roof, let's just expand that concept. You work in an environment that suits you and you work in, and we work in an environment that suits us and that we work in. And why don't we all just look at results? So you don't have to care that my workplace takes my biology, my cultural obligations, my looking after my parents, or looking after my children. And you, I don't care that you have a very cold office that makes you very happy and that you want to go and drink till 1 in the morning after you finish work. Why don't we just have them coexist side by side, and then they don't have to bully each other into any kind of submission? I feel like that's just intelligent somehow, right? What do you think?
So are you mainly working then with male leaders, or is it easier for you to access companies where the leaders are already female or have been founded by female leaders?
Actually, it's such a good question because it's not even true whether they're male or female. It's actually the size of the organization. It is because there are as many women that don't care about women. No, there are less women that don't care about women. But we have a phrase we use in my organization. Is it a woman or is it a man woman? Because the man woman does not care about this conversation at all. And in fact, she thinks that this conversation weakens and debilitates her and makes her vulnerable. So she will not join in this conversation. And your average 35-year-old man woman actually doesn't even give a shit because she hasn't gone to perimenopause and she hasn't had to deal with it. Therefore, she doesn't care about it and doesn't understand it. So you want to be careful that this isn't just a gender-based thing. What we want to talk about is what is happening to help us is the size of the organization. Women that have walked out of huge workplaces, set up their own businesses, know why they've walked out, and they are the people that are supporting us. There are some men, absolutely, and I'm grateful for them, and the more the merrier. But in my arena of life, I'm interested in creating a movement. So I'm like, please just come in the door and get certified. We give you visibility, we put you on a map, we get you seen, we'll talk to you, we'll interview you, we'll put recordings up, and we're good at visibility. So we're like, look, do not feel like you shouldn't. As long as you have one person that works with you, even in a freelance capacity, we will certify you. We will bring you in the door and we'll give you a home to say, I care about this. And the more the people that care, the more the momentum, then the more the movement, and then more the change.
So what is your vision with W Corp?
My vision with W Corp is to create. It's interesting. It's only 2 years old. Actually, and you don't read, I'm laughing at the fact that it's my fifth startup. So I knew how to get there very fast. And I spent 1 year just creating a minimum viable product. And I signed up 50 companies and I was like, okay, we can do this. And year two, which was last year, was about credibility and collaboration. So we won a lot of awards. We collaborated with huge companies like Google Venture, Google VC, KPMG, Snapchat, anyone I could get my hands on. I've become shameless about asking, which was not who I was before. My vision with this is to take all the conversations that we're having and keep having them with a lens that has utter clarity where it comes to women. That's what I'm trying to do. For example, before I came on this call, there's a huge impetus on return to work. And it's very bad for women to return to work because we want to work and create results, but not return to the office. And so I started looking at it differently. I'm like, what if I came at it from how much money landlords are losing when their offices stay empty? Did you know 800 million is being wasted because people are not coming to work? This is why they want us to come back to work. And I'm like, let's have that conversation, not this one. So I'm very focused on pulling these conversations out to show how it impacts us so we have the right to fight back in an intelligent way. Because the UK government is running a collaborative exercise on should we ask for work from home or go to work? And I'm like, take this into account. And I think those things are important because we need to make change. My overall goal for this year, I have one specific impact goal. So every year I try and find an impact goal, a non-impact goal. 2% of all venture capital funding goes to women, all female-run teams, right? So if you have one penis on your team, the funding goes up to 12%. Without that one penis, you stay at 2% of all available money, billions and billions. Only 2% goes to women. My goal this year is to try and get that number to 3%. Very specifically, I don't want to talk about it anymore. I don't want to hear about it anymore. I don't want to go, oh, my, I just don't care. How do we get it to 3%? So we sat down, we looked at the numbers, and we're building a little barometer. We haven't got the right word for it yet in the UK, which will track how much money goes to women and how much money is being invested generally. And every time somebody gives money to women, I'm going to send a marching band to their office with cake and balloons to celebrate them. Because I'm like, if I can celebrate you here, maybe it'll make you do more here at another juncture. And so that's my overwhelming goal.
So why is
I
that
don't think I
you?
answered your question. Your question was, what is my goal? I don't know. My goal is to think of one thing to change every year and go hell for leather to change that one thing.
Okay. And why have you started W
Why
Corp?
did I start? Because I was 20 years ago. I walked out on my marriage and a very big company I had built with my husband. And I ended up with three small children. The youngest was a year and a half, and the eldest was 7 years old. The youngest must have been a bit younger because we were holding nappies, and I was remember carrying her. So she was a bit younger. My ex-husband emptied all my bank accounts, and I ended up with £200, killed all the credit cards, killed. We had built this together, right? It wasn't like I married money. And I went to my mother because I come from a very wealthy family, and my mother's known. You need to go back because marriages are meant to be worked out between a husband and a wife. You can sleep in my house, which my father bought, for one night, and then you and the children have to leave. And I was the next day, I was homeless. I couldn't pay for anything. We had one suitcase between the four of us, and it was a very bad thing. And I worked my way out of that without having to get married or sell myself or any of those things. I sold my brain, but it was insanely difficult, Christine. So I read in 2020, where are we now? 6543, a court transcript of a man called Crispin Odey, that the Financial Times had run a huge expose on this man. And he had been sexually assaulting women, apparently, for 18 years or something. And he had, oh my God, the overwhelming amount of evidence. I think something like seven women had brought him to court. And every time the judge was like, stop raping them. They don't like it. See you later. Like this conversation. He's now, in fact, suing the Financial Times because he's saying that none of this was true. Because he was, I think, convicted of rape. And the woman said in the court transcript, one of us was delegated every day. So that when he went into the lift to come down to the ground floor, we rang the ground floor and said, he's on his way, get behind a locked door. And I was like, as a woman, you know so many things from that one sentence. One, you know that they have no choice, otherwise they would have left. Two, they need the money. Three, nobody saved them, they had to save themselves. And four, I thought, my God, this could be me. There, but for the grace of God, go. I was like, no. I'm going to do, someone should do something. I didn't want to do it. I was like, someone should do something. I was in my superficial era. I'm like, can I go and sit in Monaco with a toy boy and stroke my Chanel handbag and do nothing? I've worked very hard my whole adult life as a single parent. I was like, not me, but somebody should do something. And then about 2 months later, my elder daughter took me to dinner, which she let me pay for. That was nice of her. And she said, Mama, I got fired. And I didn't want to tell you, but I got fired because I had my periods. And she was so ashamed of herself. And I was like, oh. And she goes, Mama, do something. You promised to do something about this. It's such a good idea. Do something. And I was like, oh. So then I started to do something, and here we are. And I said, okay, but to save me, I said, I'll do it for 5 years and I'll see what I can do for 5 years. Because in running my health and wellness business for 15 years, I had a lot of impact. I changed health and wellness in this country completely. So I've had impact. I was the first non-white woman to stand for parliament. I've had impact. So I was like, I deserve a rest. It turns out, not yet. The universe was like, hold my beer. It's time for the next thing. So I'm just here, and every day I pick something fun to talk about, to change, to shift. And I've developed skills on the way that are really helpful. I've developed this of visibility, of bluntness, of clarity. Yeah.
And you're not afraid.
No, not even slightly. Well, all those terrible things came along, and they made it's not that I don't worry. And it's not that I always have fear. I think it's healthy to have fear, but not enough to ever stop me.
Wow. So what is your message to the world out there?
That I've been on in the media and the public eye since I was about 24 or 25 years old, which is a very long time ago. And I have never once in all that time blamed men for where we are. Like, even when I tell you normal is white man, I'm not telling you normal is a horrible white man. I'm just saying it's a white man. It's a statement of fact. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't think we can blame men for this, because when you're in an environment and it works for you, how can you possibly be blamed for enjoying and taking advantage of it? You can't. Be my guest. You should completely do that. However, if you have daughters, your daughters are going to go through what we went through. You don't want them to go through what we went through. Or if you have a sense of understanding for the underdog, that is who we are. We are 50% of the population, with maybe 3% of the voice in the world. Jeffrey Epstein's files prove this beyond all reasonable doubt. And if you don't want to create an environment in which this happens to your children, you have the right and the ability and the voice to change it. Don't burn the house down. That's not important. What is important is more and more people standing up and saying, okay, I care about this. Come to us. We'll get you certified. We'll put you on a map and show you as being someone who cares about this. Make the changes without us. I'm easy with that. That's the male version. The female version is we need to stop blaming men. I think that the more we can step up, and to the power that, and this is my day job, right? My day job, how I fund all of this, is I'm a coach. I coach senior women to build. I have women that have companies over 150 million. I coach a lot of really high growth women and a lot of high growth men. Like, I've just done an exit for a woman at 1.8 billion, which is the third largest exit. I'm always saying to these women, if you believe in the power that you have inside of yourself, that power will help you to step forward and to have a clarity and a voice that will change much more than you will ever believe by being able to stand up and say something. Just stand up and say something. But before you can say it, believe in it in yourself. Because I'm a very powerful woman, and I really like that about me. The more you're a very powerful woman, the more you like that about you. And then you change how you show up. And the change starts within us. And the more and the more and the more of us there are, life will never be the same.
I don't know about you. For me, it was really interesting because I come from a family where my mother was a very strong woman, and her mother as well, and her mother, her mother as well. So for me, it was really strange when I walked into a world where women and men were not equal, because to me it was so natural. That's really interesting.
No, and it's true, right? It's confusing, because like, my son grew up in an environment where women were all powerful. So my son to this day does not believe, obviously now he does, he didn't understand that women got paid less to do the same job. He thought I was just making it up to be dramatic. I showed him statistics and he was just like, what do you mean? He couldn't. But it's such an easy generational shift. I was driving my elder daughter, my second youngest child, to school when she was 5 years old, 4 years old. I think it was nursery school, so maybe a bit younger. And we were already living alone, and there was a man pulled up in a bike on a bicycle next to us, dressed in a suit and everything. And she said to me, Mama, where's that daddy going? Why is he dressed like that on a bike? And I was like, I don't know, I guess he's going to work. And my daughter went, daddies also work?
That's great.
My daughter was like, "What do you mean men work?" I did not know that. I thought only mummies worked. So it's such an easy thing.
And I think that is a great point because it does start within the family. It does not only start in the company.
No, the company is the external consequence of what happened in your If we don't bring boys up to respect women, to believe in their value, to talk about what they need. And also, but the thing is, Christine, it takes so much courage to stand out of the herd. The person that stands up to say, "I don't believe in this. This is not right. Why does this person earn less than me?" Why to be that person takes a lot of bravery and courage. And so, in a way, it takes much more courage for men at the moment to go against the prevailing wind. And for women, we give birth, we need courage at every step. But it takes a lot of courage for men to fight the system.
And also they fight a system that is, as you said, it's made for them, so it's makes it
Which is
even harder,
such a
right?
mind screw, right? Like it's even worse because you're looking at it going, "Here, let's fight the thing that gets you a benefit." You're like, "Really? Okay."
So it's up on us.
But these, my, I just, I read this to the data that says that gender parity is 123 years away. And I just thought, you know what? I think that's such bullshit. I honestly think that's such bullshit. I don't think there's anything special about me necessarily. I think that there should be more special things about the clarity we have with what we want to change. And if we change two or three or four metrics only, I'll take one metric, you take one metric, you take one metric, you take one, it's life-changing. It's because we don't drill in to changing a metric. I don't know, I'll let you know at the end of the year, by the way, if this is successful or not. But I think changing one metric, like I'm going to take ownership of this metric. Somebody else says, "Okay, I want to change this metric." I think every metric that we're willing to literally stand for and say, "This is my flag in the ground, I will not move." I wonder what that would do, because we've tried everything else. That does nothing.
Wow, cool. Definitely keep me up to date at the end of the year. Let me know how it goes. A really great conversation. Thank you for standing your women and being very vocal about the inequality that is still out there.
Thank you. I wasn't doing anything else anyway, because I didn't get to go and hide in a corner. I was like, I may as well use my time wisely.
Cool. Thank you so much. Thanks for being here.
This was Lead Well. Now, what is the one thing that you're taking away from this episode? Please share in the comments below and do share the podcast with your friends and family, but only if you like it.